Hello, and welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do rather than what they cannot do. Hello, this is Dr. Steve Nurse, and this is another episode of our series on learning disabilities. And working with me on this program is Linda Price. Linda Price is she's still an educator, but she's a former professor at Temple University in Philadelphia. And she and I have worked on a number of projects and are good friends. And she is as close as anybody could be an expert on learning disabilities. So Linda and I will be talking to you about this. Also, if you have would like more information, Linda has a website called littleoldladyprofessor.com, all one word, and it has information on learning disabilities, and it has, you can ask her questions. You may only get a yes or no answer, but no, she'll be very, and also, if you have questions on any of the, when we say we're talking about research that's been done in the area, please feel free to question us, and we'll give you actual citations of where the research comes from. So as we were talking at our last episode, we were talking about 21st century resumes, and we were talking about persons with learning disabilities going out and getting jobs, and that now actually was probably a pretty good time to do that, because we are really looking to keep people employed and get people employed after this COVID. I realize it's not over, but every place I go, they're advertising for jobs and asking people to apply. And that tells me that the market for employees is good, and chances of getting employed in this area is in any area is much better. So, Linda, let's talk a little bit about, and we did talk about rehab and those kinds of things. And I asked you to walk me through if you were going to, if you had a learning disability, you were going to apply for a job, what steps you would go through.
Well, it's interesting to me as we're talking about this, I think basically this, except for voc rehab, which, by the way, and I'm like you in my experience, I've worked with some voc rehab people that should have halos. I mean, they do absolutely amazing work with their clients that have all kinds of disabilities. But the point is that except for the area of accommodations and the area of self-disclosure, it's pretty much like anybody would do when they're applying for a job. You figure out what your job interest is. You figure out if you have the qualifications for that particular job. For example, we were kidding earlier about getting a job at White Castle. My guess is that the qualifications for that are pretty low. So that would be something that pretty much anybody could go to apply for. However, if you have heavy student loans, if you maybe have a family, if you need benefits, if you want a place where you can get promoted, maybe you have a college degree. Like you were saying earlier, you may want to go through a recruiter. If you have a university degree, you definitely want to go through your university office. Each right. college and university will have some kind of an office specifically set aside for graduates and alumni so that they can kind of help you, you know, get started for, you know, your job search. And they also often can also give you the interest inventories and that kind of thing.
And I think
so
another thing, I think another thing, too, is that most, all universities that I'm aware of have what's called a disabled student coordinator or a coordinator right. of disability issues, or they all have different names, and but they do the same thing. And they would also help you connect with an employer. One of the things that you mentioned in our previous interview was, where do you go to get a job? There are lots of places. There are still things there. They're made out of paper and they have black and white on them. They're called newspapers, and we don't use those as much anymore. But that may be an initial place to start. I also think, and you mentioned a family, use the resources that are open to you. And a lot of times I think if any of us think about it, there are a lot of jobs that we've had in our lives. And I used to ask my college students, I would say, what is the worst job you've ever had in your life? And they came up with everything. And the answer, my follow-up to that would be, that's certainly a job that you don't want to do the rest of your life. So I think that that's important to know that you learn from every job. And I think I can honestly say that every job that I've had, I've learned something from it. And I probably learned something from it that I will take to my grave and that I use today. I've worked in lawn maintenance. I've worked in sales. I was a very poor salesman. I did eventually settle as being a teacher. And I that was something that I really enjoyed. And so I don't know if everybody can say this, but at least the last 20 years of my life of working, I really enjoyed it. And so I think it's important that if we talk about persons with learning disabilities, they also need to be in positions that they enjoy. I also think that when we talk about where do you go, and you can, I'll have you talk about this a little bit, but there's nothing wrong with going to an agency that would help you get a job. What are some other options that we might use? So you mentioned family, and that might work if your family's name is Gotti, but, we can, there must be other ways of working around that too.
Well, it's funny, you and I, when we talk, we're always psychic with each other, because one of the most underutilized ways for people with learning disabilities and dyslexia to get job leads is through either apprenticeships or internships. And even the whole concept of service learning and volunteer work, you can still do that while you're still in school, or maybe, let's say, while you're working, at waitressing at a restaurant, you could still try to get an internship on the side. But the point is what you're doing is you're networking. And it also kind of helps you, if you have a hidden disability, to kind of figure out where you fit into that particular, if you're already an intern or an apprentice in a particular occupation, it can help you kind of figure out, like, where you're going to need accommodations, where you're going to be okay. For example, let's say somebody is an intern in a law office, and they have dysgraphia. Well, taking copious notes, writing things down, may be very hard for them. And so they're going to, as an intern in a law office, they're going to be able to see that the majority of all that work is done on computer, it's done on an iPad, everything's typed in. So what they might want to do is work on their typing skills as an accommodation. Or maybe, again, somebody that wants to maybe be a chef, or maybe work in the restaurant field, and maybe they start out as a waiter. And if they have attention deficit disorder, one of the things that they're going to figure out really quick as a waiter is that they have to focus on what people are ordering. And so that will give them a chance then to kind of figure out what kind of accommodations they're going to need if and when they would go back to culinary school and become a chef.
Sure. And
you see what I mean?
I do.
It's that real world stuff that's important.
And I think that what you're mentioning, a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to work for nothing, but you're not
right.
working for nothing. You're
right,
working,
exactly.
You know, you're showing some very important skills. You're showing that you care enough about working, that you're willing to learn, that you're willing to be a good listener. And also, I think one of the things that something like Voc Rehab will teach you is, or will help you learn, is that you want, again, have skills that apply to the job. Now, let's say you may have problems with mathematics. If you go to work in a fast food restaurant, you know, every time somebody comes by the fast food booth, you're going to press a button that has a Big Mac on it, or you're going to press a button that has a, you know, Taco Bell taco on it, and it's going to add things up for you. You're not going to sit in that booth and go, let's see, 3 + 4 = 7, Carrie, is it 2?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do like that. So there are some jobs that don't require that same level of mathematical skills as if you were trying to figure out what trajectory you needed to get to land a spacecraft on the moon. Other things that you might want to do would be to, and I think this is also really important, talk to someone who's, if you want to apply for a job, talk to someone who's in that position and ask
mm-hmm.
them what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Ask
Absolutely.
Them, you know, what the job involves. And then they can decide whether or not that they want to do it. I worked with one young man, and the teacher, this young man was in high school, and the teacher had him in a program where he was doing landscaping. And I would say this young man did have some cognitive issues, but could, you know, take directions and do the job very well. Unfortunately, he was violently afraid of bees. And, you know, unfortunately, coming with flowers are bees. And so here you had this kid on a job where if he saw a bee, he basically would take off and run. And so it would seem to me that's a pretty easy no-brainer that's not going to be a job for him. At the same time, one of the things that he really liked to do was wood shop. And so here you can actually maybe work around this, offer some training, get him in a position, doesn't have to learn everything about construction, but maybe how to put joists together and how to do framing of a house, and get a job that's going to, you know, possibly get into a union, possibly get into an apprenticeship, and get a job that actually pays enough money to support yourself. I mean, that's really what we all want to do.
Right.
One of the things you also talked about, let's talk about this, and you mentioned it briefly with behavior issues, but let's talk about when you do this interview in the 21st century, whether you do it online or whether you eventually, when you get down and you're working, let's talk a little bit about the social aspects of jobs.
Okay, and what's interesting is that ties in even when you're doing the interview, because of COVID, a lot of the interviews, now again, these are primarily for like white collar jobs with college degrees, that kind of thing. Those tend to be online. And one of the things that I think could be problematic for people with some kinds of learning disabilities is that they'll do a Zoom interview. And it's a Zoom interview that will be more than one person. So, you know, you'll have like the multiple person screen. And for someone, for example, that has nonverbal learning disabilities, maybe has problems understanding social cues, maybe has auditory discrimination or auditory member problems. So they'll hear what's being said through Zoom, but they won't always understand exactly what's being said. Those kinds of interviews can be a real nightmare for them, because what's hard is that instead of focusing on one person, you're focusing on five people. And you always, you know, what they see through the Zoom screen, you have to be at the top of your game. You have to be smiling and nodding and energetic and interested. And meanwhile, you're trying to decode what everybody's saying. So that can be problematic for some kinds of learning disabilities. Another example where, like online interviews can be difficult for people with learning disabilities, is there's a tendency now, apparently, to, they've looked at your resume. They can see what your basic skills are. And so what they're going to do is they're going to give you like a simple competency test as part of the interview. So they will maybe give you scenarios that you'll have to figure out. They may ask you to talk about your electronic portfolio. They may ask you to, you know, talk about, this is a situation with a certain kind of client, what would you do? And what's hard, I think, for some people with learning disabilities is that some people are really good, Steve, like you and I. We could think on our feet, right?
Right.
You know,
and some people,
about that.
Another
but
thing
people
is,
people with LD can't sometimes.
Another thing is, I think people, you know, sometimes kind of downplay the trying to, you know, I hate to do a little, you know, social things where you kind of do a mock interview. But
right, exactly.
I think those for a person with a learning disability, I think that can be a very
absolutely
valuable tool, because a lot of times with the social aspects of a learning disability, one of them is you have a hard time thinking in the future what to expect. Mm-hmm. And
right,
if you do a mock interview, that's going to probably allow you to have a little less anxiety when you're actually doing the interview. And I think, you know, if you are talking to someone, I think you want to show confidence. I think
mm-hmm.
even practicing things like eye contact,
mm-hmm.
all those things
absolutely
have value. And at some point, you know, we talk about, you know, all these things that we mentioned, the fact, you know, only, you know, a person may spend 6 to 8 seconds on an interview looking at it or actually looking at paper. The fact is that for all jobs, but for the vast majority of jobs that you're doing out there, you have to work with other people.
Oh, absolutely.
One way or another. You know,
absolutely.
And some require a much higher level of contact with people. If you're going to do sales.
Right.
You know, and you need to sell yourself as well as the product.
Right.
You can have jobs where you can work relatively independent. Let me ask you this, Rick. Rick, that's your name. You had a job where you worked with people a lot of times, but you also had kind of, did you have times when you were by yourself and just doing a lot, you know?
Oh, which job is this we're talking about?
Well, your last job.
My life in the sewer.
Yeah, your life in the sewer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we, it was a team type job,
yeah,
although we were physically separated from
right
each other.
Yeah.
With the treatment plant covered 90 acres, and there was five or six centers of activity, and people would be assigned to different ones. But there would be times when you had time to go up to headquarters and hang out, and then there'd be three or four people up there hanging out.
I mean, that requires a certain amount of social skills.
Yeah,
I mean,
it requires both. You be able to work by yourself. We had like a 15-page
right
checklist we had to go through by ourselves.
So you're basically working with a checklist, and you're saying, I've got to, you know, I have to go out and do this, and I have to accomplish these things, and you have to be the instigator. No one's going to be there to micromanage you when you're on the job,
no,
right?
There's a supervisor, but his job is largely administrative and keeping track of time worked and vacations and stuff.
And my experience with supervisors was their main job was to have you do your job so they didn't have to do, a certain amount of their job. They, prevent the boat from rocking, and everything was well.
But yeah, we had to do both people contact and work alone. We had both. We had to do.
Yeah, and I think I really think most jobs are like that to a certain extent.
I think you raised a really important point about people with learning disabilities and dyslexia, because what we've talked about is a lot of the negatives. But the other thing that folks with LD and dyslexia can really emphasize is a lot of them are very independent workers. These are the people that, for example, it takes somebody in class maybe 20 minutes to read an assignment. It may take somebody with dyslexia 45 minutes to read that assignment.
Right.
And so they're used to putting in all this extra time and extra effort. They're very, very good in terms of being responsible, being self-starters. And the other cool thing that they can emphasize when they're applying for jobs is some of the most creative people in the world that you are going to meet are people with LD and dyslexia because of the way they process, they see things differently. There's this wonderful story about Richard Branson, the guy that owns Virgin Airlines.
Right.
And, he's the one that there were two different big, multimillionaires that sent people into outer space. Well, one of them was Richard Branson, and he tells the story that when he went to talk with his board of directors about, I think this is the next thing we need to do as a company, is try to start putting people into space, they all looked at him like he grew another head. And they said, well, why would we possibly want to do that? And his answer, which is a very LD answer, was why not? Why wouldn't we want to do that?
Yes, yes.
People with LD are used, and dyslexia, are used to being creative because they can't do things the way a lot of other people do. So they have to think about it in a different way. So that's something to definitely emphasize when you're looking for jobs.
Yes, and I think, and again, you mentioned also being able to work independently. I think it becomes even more difficult during these times of COVID when people are working at home, you really have to program. You still need to take breaks, get up and move around, but also you need to stick to what you're doing for a paid job. And not watching the latest episode of Judge Judy. That's important. Some people are good. We talk about having lists of things to do. I would think that would be very important for a person who has a learning disability and is working independently. Just as a kind of a bulleted list of here's what I need to get done during the day. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Right. And I think the one topic that we all kind of dance around, I mean, this literally is the elephant in the living room when you're talking about invisible or hidden disabilities, is when does a person with LD or dyslexia, when did they self-disclose? When do they tell the prospective employer, look, I have a learning disability, I've been diagnosed, and these are the kind of accommodations that I need? And, if anybody can find the perfect answer to that, let me know, because I am going to use that and go pie my place in Bermuda, because nobody knows. There is no single answer. I read one article that kind of made my hair turn white after already being gray, where this was a guy, and this was in Forbes magazine, where the guy said, I have a disability, and whenever I apply for jobs, I always tell them up front, my name is such and such, and I have a disability, and this is what the kind of accommodations I'm going to need. Steve, I think he says the reason why you should do that is because it projects confidence in the interview and to the employer. I can tell you, with my colleagues, I've interviewed from all over the world, probably 120 to 130 different adults with learning disabilities, and 90% of them have said, don't ever, ever tell anybody you have learning disabilities, because if an employer hears that, they're going to fire you.
I think that, I think that's, you know, we have to be careful. I think we have to be honest, but we have to be careful about about how we say things. And we have to look at what other people's perceptions are when we say those things. And I think that, you know, we're kind of running down here in our time, but I think that, Linda, I'm going to give you the last word on this, but I think that one of the things that we really need to do is, as a person with a disability, is not to do it alone. And by that, I mean, use your resources. Amen. Talk to family. Talk to friends. Talk to the other people that have these jobs. Contact voc rehab. Voc rehab may not work for everybody, but there also may be other, you know, there's a Learning Disability Association. There are resources out there for people. If this is an adolescent, this is somebody that can still use, you know, kids that are on individual education plans and in special education programs can go to school, can do transition, can do job planning until they can finish the year that they turn 21. So I think that, is that correct? I think it's either 21 or 22. I can't remember. But
I think it's 21. Yeah.
But anyhow. So I think what we're going to do is the next time, and you can talk just very briefly about this, Linda, but our final episode is going to be, what can you do as a person, as a family member of someone who has a learning disability, as a fellow worker, what can you do to assist that person that's not patronizing but truly assisting, and to do something with them, not to do something for them. Linda,
you got the last
2 minutes here.
And I'm going to not even take the 2 minutes, because I'm going to say amen.
All right. Okay, I guess that means that Rick and I have to sing for the last minute and a half. No, not really.
The other piece of it is that and we'll talk about this in the last episode, is education. People have to be educated about what these hidden disabilities are.
Yes, I think so. And with that, we will close her off. And so just the recap of this episode is that we have been talking about learning disabilities, what they are, how they affect people. If you just turned in now, I would think you could go back to all these programs are archived. They're all listed on VOV's website under the name Is Abled. And I am Dr. Steve Nurse. My colleague here is Dr. Linda Price. And we'll be finishing up next week. And thank you very much, Vaishon, and thank you very much. Maybe we'll get some listeners there, Linda. What do you think, in Louisiana or Mississippi? Or maybe
we definitely will.
Maybe we can, and we've given them a plug, so maybe we can also get some listeners from White Castle. On that, I'm going.
To stream this or any other episode of Is Abled with Dr. Stephen W. Nurse, go to voiceofashon.org and look under the Shows tab.